Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for an opportunity to be with you this morning. And God, as we continue to worship you, Lord, speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to yourself that we might be closer to you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. I asked you in the beginning of service to list at least a few attributes or as many as you could in 60 seconds. I want you to take that out right now. I want you to take your lists out right now. And I wonder if we could make a list, a more complete list together of all the characteristics we came up with. So you might want to grab a pencil or a pen. And as we continue to list these off, I encourage you to write them down next to the A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, so let's start with A. A, what are some of the A's? Alive, awesome. Attentive. What's it? Almighty. Absolute. All-knowing. And you can put all in front of a lot of things, right? All-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. Okay, let's go to B.
Benevolent.
Benevolent. Beautiful. Beneficial, bright light. Blessing or blessed. Any other B's? Let's go on to C. Caring. Courageous. Creative or creator.
Compassionate.
Coming. Charismatic. D. Devoted. Did I hear dedicated? Dedicated. Divine. Delivers. D. E. Exceptional.
Everlasting.
You could put eternal. Empathetic. Evangelical. Emmanuel. Good, good. Any other E words? Okay, E, F.
Faithful.
Forgiving. Father. Fair. Did someone say forever? Forever? G.
Gracious.
Generous.
Great.
Great. How about good? G. H.
Healer.
Healer.
Holy.
Helpful. Okay, helpful.
Honor.
Honor.
Honored.
Honored. Honored. Heavenly.
Healer.
Well, we said healer. I.
Indestructible.
Indestructible.
Inspiring.
Immortal.
Irresistible.
Irresistible. Mike, you said
infinite.
Inviting. Okay. J.
Just.
Joy or joyful.
Jehovah.
Jesus.
Jealous.
God is a jealous God. Any other J's? K. Kind.
Knowing.
Kingly. King of kings and Lord of lords. Whoops, I gave L away. What was the other K over here?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. Anything else? L.
Loving.
Lord of lords. What did you say, Jan?
Light of the world.
Light of the world.
Laughter.
Loud?
Loud.
Absolutely loud. Loving, loud, loyal. M. Mighty. Mighty. Hold it. You're too fast. Merciful. Might. What was that? Majestic. Mighty, majestic. Marvelous. N.
Nourishing.
Number one.
Nice.
Never changing. Never changing.
New.
New every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Any other N's? Oh. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, omni, a lot of things.
One God.
One God. Omega. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Omega means in Greek, end. So he's the beginning, Alpha, and he's the end. Those are the beginning and last letters of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end. Any other O's? Obedient? I can work that. God is obedient. Open-hearted. P. Pure.
Patient.
Peaceful. Peace-giving.
Paternal.
Powerful. Perfect. Any other P's? The Trinity is like peas in a pod. They're all the same. I'm just kidding. Q.
Quintessential.
Quiet or quieting helps us to quiet or
gives quarter.
Okay. Gives quarter. Right. Okay. R.
Real.
Redeemer.
Righteous.
Reassuring.
Royal.
Resting. Rescues. S.
Sovereign.
Savior.
Sincere.
Sensitive.
Sensitive.
S. What was that? I'm not there yet. Okay. Any other S's?
Strong.
Okay. Marty T.
Tender.
Teacher.
Trusting.
Trustworthy.
Tolerant.
True.
Trinity.
Tough. You.
Understanding.
Unbelievable. You.
Undeniable.
Useful.
Unchanging.
Universal.
You.
Unites.
United.
V.
Voracious.
Victorious or victor.
Voice.
Valuable.
Vengeful.
God is a vengeful God. Any other V's?
W.
Wonderful.
Oh, let's go back to C's, counselor. Wonderful counselor. W.
Worthy.
Wonder. Wisdom. Good one. Wisdom. How about winner? Winner. Remember the cartoon with the kid reading the Bible and he turns to his dad and he says, "Dad, I read the last page and guess what? He wins." Right? X. Xavier. Okay, let's define that one.
Bright.
Bright. Okay. Xavier. Yes?
She must have X-ray vision.
X-ray vision. I like that one.
Xerox memory.
A Xerox memory. How about exciting? Why? Why? Yahweh. That starts with a J. No, that's Jehovah. You're right, Yahweh.
Yearning.
God yearns for us. Why is a tough one? All right, Z.
Zealous.
Zealous. He's a zookeeper. Look at all of us. I've got a couple of slides here. Here's God's love, ABCs. Yearning, zealous, exciting, wonderful, valuable, going backwards, unconditional, true, sacrificial, redeeming, quieting, powerful, overflowing, never failing, marvelous, loud, kind, jealous, immeasurable. I like that one. Holy, gracious, forgiving, endless, deep, constant, big, amazing. And then not only the attributes or characteristics of God are important, but the names of God. You see a bunch of names of God. Rock. We didn't think of rock. Judge. Ruler. Cornerstone. High priest. Good shepherd. Word. Mediator. Advocate. Prince of peace. King of glory. Redeemer, deliverer, master, lion of Judah. We said jealous. Life. God is life. God is a friend. God is the way. Elohim, light of the world, Alpha and Omega, Holy Spirit, Holy One, Rock of Israel, the Lord of hosts, Abba, Father. So there are many characteristics, even in the names of God, that help us to understand who God is. Now, hold on to your list for a few minutes. I remember a time when I saw this picture, and I don't remember where I saw the picture. It could have been in a church or someone's home, but it evoked in me this understanding of the solitude of prayer, the solitude of prayer, maybe the sacredness of prayer. What picture? Oh, it's a picture called Grace. It's a picture called Grace. Maybe you've seen it. A picture of a man in the early 1900s sitting at a table with a loaf of bread, a soup bowl, and his reading glasses on top of a large book in front of him. The man is an older gentleman with a heavy white beard and thinning white hair on his head. His elbows are on the table in front of him with his hands folded together, meeting his forehead. His eyes are closed, and you can see that he is in prayer. Now, this picture is called Grace, and it's a portrait of prayer for the Thanksgiving of food, maybe after he spent some time reading from this large book, which we can probably assume is a Bible. And there's this sense of holiness about the scene as a man is in holy union with God, with the light coming through the window as though the light of God streaming through onto his face and hands. He seems like a man who is familiar with prayer. Or so it appears. So what's the story behind the picture? This photograph was taken by Eric Enstrom between 1918 and 1920 in Bovee, Minnesota, in his art studio. The man in the photograph is Charles Wyden, a Swedish immigrant who lived nearby. And while the book is thought to be a Bible, it's a dictionary. The article I read said Charles' life was not necessarily a holy life, but centered more around drinking and not accomplishing very much. Enstrom gave Charles $5 to waive his rights to the photograph. And after that, Charles was never seen or heard from again. Years later, in the 1940s, Enstrom's daughter, Rona Nyberg, colorized the photo by hand, and it became the more widespread and popular version of the photograph we know today. This is often a picture, though, when we see it, of what we believe prayer should look like, an unrushed, a holy time. Yet for many people, prayer doesn't seem like that. We rush into it maybe in the morning or in the evening with many things pressing down on our minds. In a rush of words, we pour out our thoughts to God, our wants, our needs, maybe even spending a few moments praying for somebody else who needs God. And then we say, Amen. I don't know if this is what Jesus had in mind for us, do you? And if not that, then what should prayer look like? And where should we learn how to pray? As Sue read earlier, we find Jesus teaching people about how to pray using the words of the Lord's Prayer. On two separate occasions, in the book of Matthew, Jesus is instructing on a hillside a number of people on various talking about various topics, and one is prayer. And here Jesus tells them, don't be like the hypocrites. Read it with me. The hypocrites who do what? Love to pray standing on the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Oh God, praise you forever. I thank you that I am a wonderful servant of yours. You know, that kind of boastful kind of praying. Jesus says no. Don't do that. And I, in fact, don't think that's the problem with most Christians today, do you? You see, Jesus goes on to say instead, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Wow, we should just huddle up then. The picture of prayer, all by ourselves. Now this isn't to say that we should never pray in public, especially for someone who needs it or as we're in a public gathering, but we should never make a show of prayer. Jesus goes on to say, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. Then Jesus says, then this is how you should pray. And you're familiar with these words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those. Oh, I'm going back into the wrong version. So we forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. On the second occasion Jesus taught, it was the disciples who came to Jesus after he had obviously spent time in prayer and asked him to teach them to pray. You see, I believe they understood for Jesus, prayer was a vital link between he and his Father in heaven. They saw the difference it made for Jesus, how it revived him after a difficult day of ministry, how it empowered him to do the will of God day by day by day. I was curious as to the amount of prayer that people pray. And so I did some research and I found some statistics from Pew Research and Barna Institute and research put on by the U.S. News and BeliefNet. And that conglomeration of information, I put this together. Approximately 85% of people say they pray. About 55% say they pray every day. Of the remaining 45% who don't pray every day, 23% say they pray either weekly or monthly. And I assume that that would maybe be if they went to church, weekly or monthly. 21% say they seldom pray. And then just over half pray for their family members and say that their prayers are often answered. Get this, in a test on prayer, a group of physicians used two control groups at the San Francisco General Medical Center. There were no statistical differences between the two groups of patients before the test on prayer's effect started. And after the test began, the group being prayed for by Christians, get this, suffered less congestive heart failure, required less diuretic and antibiotic therapy, had fewer episodes of pneumonia, had fewer cardiac arrests, were less frequently intubated and ventilated. I don't know about you, but it says to me, prayer does something. Yet prayer is more than asking God to do something, even if it's to bring healing to others. Going back to that statistic, a little over half of those who prayed said this about prayer. Read it with me. The most important purpose of prayer is intimacy with God. Would you agree with that? That the most important part of prayer is building intimacy with God? We spent some time last summer going over the Lord's Prayer, and we found if it was used as a model, there would be areas of our conversation with God, our prayer time with God, that we could spend on that would help give us balance to our prayer life. We would begin by acknowledging God and worshiping God. We would ask God for His will to be done in our lives. As an act of submission, we would submit our wills to God. We would ask God to supply our daily needs and spend time confessing our disobedience to God and ask for forgiveness, as well as asking God to help us to forgive those who have hurt us or done us wrong. And then we would ask God or seek God's protection and deliverance from temptation. In his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, Bill Hybel suggests yet another model that we could use for prayer. And he gives a wonderful write-up on it, of which I don't have time to give, but would encourage you to read. And it's this prayer model gives us balance in spending our time in prayer, using four specific areas with God. The model's called ACTS. ACTS. And each letter stands for an aspect of prayer, creating a more balanced prayer life for all of us. Much the same as the Lord's Prayer does when we look at it or use it as a model. Remember, if left to one's own devices, prayer would oftentimes simply become a laundry list of things for God to do, which I know I've experienced in the past. It's easy to get caught up into it, and I know you've probably experienced it too. So that's why we use this model, ACTS. I've used it for years. As you begin in a time with prayer, you begin with A, which is adoration. Adoration. Adore God for who God is. If you take out your ABC, your attributes or your characteristics of God, including the names of God. By saying these, by going through them, it becomes that portion of adoration, of worship to God. You've already written them down. Stick them in your Bible. God, you are my creator, the one who is awesome in power and might. Yet you love me even when I turn from you. And you forgive me when I confess my sins. You are merciful and just, eternal and divine. You're exciting. It becomes a time of worship of God, adoration. Begin your prayer in worship. Use these characteristics that you've written down to bless and praise God's holy name. The C is for confession. And this is a time when we reflect on our actions, our thoughts, and hold them up into the light of what Scripture tells us so that we might bring glory to God, so that we can order our life
Now, I know there's probably some perfect people in here, but I'm not perfect. And I know that every day of my life, I make mistakes. I do things that are not according to God's will. And like most people, we tend to go our own way, which is not always God's way. Sometimes there are things that we do that God tells us not to do. We hate our brother or sister. We tell a lie because it's easier than telling the truth. We covet that which is not ours, or lust after another. We take God's name in vain, and we don't treat others as we ought. Those are things we do that God tells us don't do. But then sometimes there are things that we don't do or we ignore, which are things we should do. We hold back our time, our worship from God. We don't help our neighbor as we should. We use our abilities for our own goods, which is not wrong in and of itself, but we don't use them for the good of God or for the church. We're not as generous as we could be with what we do or in what we give. And we at times withhold telling others about the goodness of God in our lives or what God has done, because we're afraid of what we might receive back from somebody. Hey, let's face it. It's during this time of confession where we can finally take the weight off of our shoulders by telling God those things that we've done wrong or those things that we didn't do. It releases from us the burden that we place on ourselves and the burden of sin, to know that God truly forgives us. We get that release. There was a person I was talking to who had experienced some difficult situations in their life, and they did something that created a breach. And as we're talking, they finally come to the place where they put words to it. Now, I know they have been thinking about it for weeks, if not months. They knew they did something wrong, and it created a problem. But I tell you, the relief they experienced when they spoke it, when they said, "This is what I did," I couldn't believe it. The change in their countenance, the way their shoulders were able to be a little bit more broad, because they were willing to confess that problem that they created. You can't underestimate. Jesus says, take on my burden. It is light. But when we carry our burden, it increasingly gets heavier and heavier. Forgiveness is so important, even forgiving ourselves. And this leads us into the next area of prayer, thanksgiving. It's a time to recognize and be thankful to God for all that we have, for all that we are. And we can begin by thanking God for being God, for reaching out to us, loving, forgiving, caring, attentive to our needs, present with us, guiding us through all our days. We can thank God for the gift of life, for air, for all of creation, for all the things we are and all the things we have. For our families and our friends, what God has done in our lives and for what God is currently doing in our lives. And yes, we can be thankful to God for what He's going to do. We can thank God for seeing us through the good days and for seeing us through the difficult days, for protecting us from what we don't even see at times. Which leads us into our last area, which is S for supplication. And supplication are simply prayers for other people or for yourself. This is where I like to use the finger prayer. You pray for those closest to you, your family, your friends, our church family, our friends. We pray for the index finger for those who lead us in our spiritual lives, our church leaders and our teachers. And I hope you're praying for me. Lord knows, I need your prayers. The middle finger, we pray for those who are in authority over us, who protect us, our government officials, our military, and those who are in emergency services. We are thankful for you. The ring finger, the weakest finger, we pray for the weakest among us and those who are in need. And finally, the pinky, the smallest finger. We lift up our wants, our own needs. And when you look at our prayer time using that acronym ACTS, you can see that our time with God becomes more than just airing our dirty laundry, our frustrations, our anger. It becomes really a time of conversational prayer. Like I said, I began using this when I was taking the SEMTA bus downtown. It was a 30 or 40 minute ride. I'd read my Bible for 5 or 10 minutes. I'd hear God speaking to me from the Word of God. And then I would go into this model. And there would be times I'd get to the Renaissance Center, the last stop. The bus would stop and the driver would say, "Hey, you in the back!" This is a great model of prayer if you use it. Now, to pray like Jesus, to actually spend time in prayer, it's gonna take your will. It's gonna take your desire. It will take effort and discipline. It will take time and repetition. But once you incorporate this into your life, your prayer life will explode. It will take your willingness to give God all of your heart to this time, your whole being, and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and to develop you in this precious life-giving discipline so that it becomes a priority in your life. Do that today. Make a commitment now to use this or another model for prayer. Carve out time in the morning or the evening, so that God, who is ever present in our life, has got those loops coming down into our lives, and all we need to do is hook into that, so that we become like God, more holy. God is strong and will keep us, protect us and guide us if we choose, if we desire. Another model is to take a piece of paper, put several lines on it, adoration, write down your adoration words for God. Confession, write down those things which you have done wrong, confess them to God, and receive forgiveness from them. Thanksgiving, what are the things you're thankful of? And supplication, what are the people that you're praying for, yourself and others? And if you don't want it floating around your house, then burn it. I don't want to confess my sins to you. I'm sure you don't want everyone else to know yours, but you do need to tell God. Whatever it takes, do it. Let us pray. Almighty God, you give us this model. You give us many different ways in which we can pray. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would give us the willingness, the desire, the determination to give our hearts completely over to you, that this might become for us a wonderful time spent with you in prayer, giving you the glory, giving you our whole being. That you might be glorified, that you might be praised. Lord, we just give you our all. In Jesus Christ's holy and precious name, amen.